So a little less than 2 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with COVID-19. Had a little mild fever for a couple of days. Lost my taste. Still don't have it back. That's a real bummer. But I guess if there was anything I would say that was number one, was just weary. Just tired. You know, this world is a wearying place to live in at best. But I began feeling weary even before 2 weeks ago. Probably started almost a year or so ago. I've been weary, exhausted, fatigued with the COVID-19 pandemic, with the lockdown, of ongoing hysterical fear of people losing their jobs and their businesses, of arrogant, hypocritical political leaders, of Western culture that is being trashed and torn down, of schools remaining shut down in some places, of churches being harassed, of crime rates rising, of deceptive media, of the cancel culture. Maybe some of you in here right now are weary yourself. But add to that, I get weary of living with me every day. And just my shortcomings and my selfishness. What could God be doing with my weariness? What could God be doing with your weariness? I think quite a bit. As we're going to see this morning, the Bible has a lot to say about weariness in this world that we live in. So let's begin by saying this. Weariness is part of a broken world. When God created everything, it was good. Everything was in harmony. Then, as we know, sin entered the world. And so because of sin, everything is broken right now. Nothing works like it should. God told Adam in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Curse is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plant of the field by the sweat of your face. You shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. God tells Adam that it's going to be hard to make a living. He doesn't say work's bad. Nowhere does the Bible say work is bad. Quite the opposite. Work is good. He's just going to say making a living is going to be wearying. It's going to be tiring. Even in the best of jobs, there's still going to be things that you don't like to do, that you have to do, that you have to work at, that wear you out. And then you wonder if you could do it. If I can continue to do this day in and day out, if I can continue to be successful, if I can continue to produce. And then after maybe you have some success, then you start worrying, can I watch over all these things that I've gained because of my success? Is something going to come around and take it all away? Can I lose it all? So it's this endless cycle of weariness. Trying to live in this world, trying to take care of your family, trying to take care of yourself. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 8 and 9 says, all things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear has its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. In other words, life becomes this ongoing, wearying routine that never ends. No matter what culture you live in, no matter when you've lived, life is nothing new under the sun. Outwardly, yes, but inwardly it's the same. So the writer says, weariness is part of a broken world. Nobody gets a free pass. Another thing the Bible says is that weariness comes from many sources. Many things can make us weary. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, Samuel's writing about David's mighty men, and he names a man named Eleazar. And he says about Eleazar in 2 Samuel 23, verse 10, he arose and struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. He was weary of killing so many Philistines. But weariness is not just because of physical reasons. Weariness comes from spiritual reasons too. Living in a world that's against God and all the things of God. And all the contempt and ridicule that comes with that. So weariness comes from fighting the enemy. Weariness also comes from within. Weariness comes from our own personal sin. King David in chapter 6, in what's called the Lament Psalm, writes this, chapter 6, verse 2. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I'm pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed and my soul is greatly dismayed. But thou, O Lord, how long? And he goes on in verse 6. I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. David's weary of his own failures. David's also weary in waiting. Psalm 69, as he waits in distress, verse 2 and 3, he writes, I've sunk in deep mire and there is no foothold. I've come into deep waters and a flood overwhelms me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Weariness. Even to the great King David, who was a man after God's own heart. Ecclesiastes tells us that there's a weariness that it comes from excessive devotion to secular information. Ecclesiastes 12:12. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless, and excessive devotion to books is wearying to the body. Now, the writer's not saying he's against knowledge. But what he is saying is, if you think you can find all the answers to everything by just reading enough books, you're wrong. God gives the answers. And so he writes this, what, almost 3,000 years ago? Think about today, the information that we all have available to us. It's mind-boggling. Anything you want for as long as you want, for as many days, you'll never get an end of it. But he says that that can be wearing. If you're looking in the wrong sources for the wrong things, you will not get the right answers. So you add to that, besides these sources, family weariness, financial weariness, health weariness, and even good things over time can cause us to become weary. So weariness comes from many sources, but weariness can be a good thing. Weariness is an indication often that we've worked hard. Remember, God never cursed work. We're going to be working through all eternity. It's just work on this planet, making a living because of sin is why things become wearying. So sometimes we're weary not because we're working too hard, but because we're spending time and energy working on the things that really don't matter. Social media, video games, TV, hours and hours and hours. Do they refresh you? Do they rev you back up? Well, the last 2 weeks have been any indication for me. The answer is absolutely no. Sitting around not wanting to do anything, I can't concentrate like I would like to. You know, over 100 stations on TV and there's not one good thing to watch. So there is an appropriate amount of fatigue, though, after a productive hard day's work, right? Whatever work you do, you have a good day at work, you get productive. Or maybe there's a project around your house that you've done. Boy, you go to bed at night, it feels good. You've accomplished something. I know for me, as I prepare my sermons during the week sometimes, I just got to stop and get up. My brain feels like it's going to blow up. You know, just studying, reading, thinking, praying. It's like, okay, I can't take anymore. That's a good kind of weariness. That's a good fatigue. We've all had that. So, weariness is not a bad thing. Weariness can be a good thing. You work hard on the right things, you should be weary. Another thing about weariness being a good thing, weariness can reveal idols and weaknesses in your heart. There may be seasons that you have, particularly if you have a new child or children. Maybe in your particular line of work, there's a certain time of year that's especially busy for you. And so those times such as that, you expend a great amount of energy during these busy seasons. There's nothing you can do about it. But what I'm talking about is idols and weaknesses. Wearying maybe because you're saying yes to too many things that you should be saying no to. Maybe you're saying you want to look busy for people. You want to feel significant. So you say yes to everything and you find out your plate becomes overloaded and you can't carry it anymore. So weariness can reveal idols and weaknesses. But a third thing about weariness being a good thing, weariness has a way of making you appreciate rest more and reminding you of the need you might have for silence and solitude. That you get sick maybe and you have to slow down and you must confront some things. You must slow down and trim some of the fat from your life and be one-on-one with God to quiet your soul. So it makes you hungry for something more than just the superficial, the physical plane. Those things that are like cotton candy can be sweet to the taste but can never fill your soul. So weariness can be a good thing. Another thing about weariness is weariness was experienced by Jesus. Now in John's gospel, John is presenting Jesus Christ as the perfect Son of God, perfectly man. Yet he doesn't present him as a Superman, that he just kind of floats above the earth in everything he does. John chapter 4, verse 4. And he had to pass through Samaria, talking about Jesus. And he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So after a long day of walking, Jesus was weary. Now, why is this important? Because in Jesus' weariness, he identifies with you and with me in our weariness. He knows what it's like to get tired. As I said before, he was a fully man, but he wasn't some Superman. And notice what Jesus does after this. There's a Samaritan woman there, and Jesus speaks to her about the water she's drawing from the well. Now, this was unusual because a Jewish man did not speak to a Samaritan woman. There was a great bigotry there, dislike for each other, Samaritans and Jews over the centuries. But Jesus says, give me a drink of water. She's taken aback by that. And then he goes on to tell her, listen, if you knew who was speaking to you, which you will soon find out, the water that you give me will quench my thirst, but what I'm going to give you, I'll give you living water that will bubble up deep down in your soul, that will quench you in a way that nothing else can. See, weariness was experienced by Jesus. And sometimes in our weariness, we need others around us, right? Kind of gets us to the end of our independent self. I'm all right, I can take care of myself. I'm glad Laurie was around. I'm always glad, but in particular when you're sick, you know, it's nice to have somebody looking out for you. Even Jesus. Give me that water, but I'm going to do something even more for you, which he does. Now, not only was Jesus weary from his walk, it says right here, but Jesus, we see a couple of times where He experienced being weary just living in this broken world. Because he knows how broken this world is better than anybody. John chapter 11. When Jesus comes to the home of Martha and Mary. Because Martha and Mary's brother, Jesus' good friend, Lazarus, had died. So Jesus shows up. Martha and Mary are in distress, in grief over the pain of the death of their brother. Then in John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, it says, Jesus wept. See, I believe Jesus, more than anybody who's ever lived, knows the pain of death, the ramifications of a broken world because of sin. And so he saw his friends, Martha and Mary, crushed over the loss of their brother, and he weeps with them. It wasn't wailing like they were. The word means literally silently crying. Then in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, it says, when he comes to Jerusalem, he approached and saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes. Jesus comes to the city of Jerusalem. They've rejected him as their king, as a nation. And so now, because of their rejection of him, he knows the judgment that is going to come upon Jerusalem. And he weeps over it because of the pain of this broken world. And the one who had come, was before them, could have made a difference. They've turned their back upon them. And so he weeps in his weariness over their rejection. So weariness was experienced by Jesus. But weariness is an invitation to draw close to Jesus. Sometimes when we're frustrated and discouraged, we seek to escape this weariness by running to all the wrong things. We run to pleasure. We run to mere entertainment. We run to things just to run to. Maybe if I get a new spouse, maybe if I get a new car, new job, new home, new place to live, it'll all be different. I could find some relief. But if you're just looking superficially over time, you find that that new thing now becomes old. Now you need something else new to find it. So what's the answer? Well, Jesus says this in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary laden, and I will give you rest. Now, God doesn't promise to dispense strength and encouragement like a pharmacist dispensing your medication. Take two of these before you go to bed at night. No. The Lord gives us something else to help us handle weary moments. He gives us himself. We come to him. We look to him. We cry to him. We put our trust in him. Charles Spurgeon wrote this, come, he drives none away. He calls them to himself. His favorite word is come. Not go to Moses, come unto me. To Jesus himself we must come by a personal trust, not to a doctrine, ordinance, nor ministry are we to come first, but to the personal Savior. To come to him means to trust in him, to rely upon him, to have confidence in him. Just like sitting in that chair, you have confidence that that chair is going to hold you up. You put your faith in it. And so Jesus says the same to us. This invitation is open to all who are exhausted, all who are burdened. I think labor implies the burdens we carry ourselves, and heavy laden implies the burdens others put upon us. And the idea of rest is a refreshment of your soul deep down inside at the very essence of your core, of your being. Because Jesus, as we saw, knows what weariness is about. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Well, actually, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you feel weary, when you're on the brink of burnout, sure, there might be some things you could do in this world, but one thing you must do is draw close to Jesus. He knows exactly what you're going through. And the good news is not only does he sympathize with your weariness, but he gives you strength to keep going. We walk by faith, folks, not by sight. And so when we look to Jesus, we're not trying to come up with some mental image of him, some picture of him, but we look to who he is, what he's done, that he gave his life for us, that he's interceding for us right now. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostilities by sinners against himself. Why? So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus, his beauty, his mercy, his love, his affection, his self-sacrifice for you. To be thrilled by them, to never lose sight of that, to constantly reinforce it in your spirit. And as you do, he strengthens you in the inner man. Jesus doesn't ask any more of you than he asked of himself. And so he knows what the weary, what the discouraged need. So what happens when we draw close to Jesus? The amazing chapter in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah writes in Isaiah 40, beginning with 29. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he gives power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. He gives you strength to keep going. You know, I remember when I was a kid, sometimes my daddy said, "Man, I'm tired." It's like, what's he talking about? How's he tired? Well, life's got a way of changing, getting a different perspective now, right? Because this body was never meant to live on this earth like it is for all eternity. No matter how well you take care of yourself, no matter how much you try to do the best you can, it's going to break down. Some before others, but it's a given. Because God never created us or recreated us, caused us to be born again, because this body needs something new, imperishable. And we're going to get it one day. So weariness is an invitation to draw close to Jesus, even when you're tired. So we look to him by faith. Another thing about weariness. Weariness is not a reason to quit. Of course, that's the ultimate, when some people are so weary that they basically give up on life. Weariness can have a way of affecting you, and it's not just physically, but also mentally, emotionally. But you've got to understand, your weariness is not just for you and about you. God put you where you are because there's a reason. You're in community. Your life is not just about you. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. And in chapter 3, he talks about there were a number of them who were undisciplined. They were a bunch of busybodies, sort of taking care of themselves. They were so worried about what everybody else was doing. And so Paul writes to them, and he warns them, and he says to them in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary of doing good." In other words, you don't give up. You don't quit. You don't just become like them. You do what God wants you to do. And what he wants you to do is to keep on doing good. Keep on doing the right thing. Keep on using the opportunities God gives you to glorify him. Now, in case we miss that, he tells the church at Galatia the exact same thing. The church at Galatia, he talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And he says to them, be careful you don't live according to the flesh, because if you do, you're going to reap accordingly. But live according to the spirit, and you will reap according to the spirit, because as a man reaps, so he sows. And then he says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap even if we do, we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So sometimes you want to quit. But God says, it's bigger than just you. There's others around you, even though you might not feel it, who need you. So weariness is part of a broken world. Weariness comes from many sources. Weariness can be a good thing. Weariness was experienced by Jesus. Weariness is an invitation to draw close to Jesus. Weariness is not a reason to quit. And finally, there's one more thing. Weariness points us to something better. I don't think we probably think about heaven as much as we should. You know, it's kind of abstract. It's far away, you know, especially when you're young. I got a lot of time for that. But we should. Because one day, that's going to be our home. We're pilgrims, the Bible says, passing through. We're sojourners. We were not ultimately meant to live on this earth constructed as it is, with this body constructed as it is. We're going to be in a new heaven, a new earth, with a new glorified body. So until that time comes, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. We don't become discouraged. We don't become spiritless. We don't become so weary that we quit, even though outside we might not be doing too well. God's still working on this construction project on the inside out that will continue until the day we're with Jesus face to face. And that moment, it will be complete. See, this world is not our ultimate home. The best is yet to come. Apostle John writes in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed. Heaven's going to be utterly glorious. We can't even begin to imagine. I said we don't think about it enough because it's so hard to think about. But we must think about it, because imagine a place. You're not going to shed a tear again. Your body's not going to ache again. You won't have to take care of a sick loved one again. You'll never have to bury. a loved one again. You'll never again be weary. You'll never again be frustrated, disappointed, or brokenhearted. Remind yourself of that regularly. That's not some pie in the sky by and by. That's a reality. That's what Jesus came back from the dead to show us. This world is not the final place. There's another world after this. Yes, I'm weary. But my weariness brings me closer to Jesus every single day. Yes, I'm weary, yet I'm not weary as one without hope. Because I know that one day my weariness will give way to constant, continual joy, refreshment, and rest. The Holy Spirit within us groans for that day, for every believer. The day that we will be transformed and this perishable will put on imperishable, will be completely new in every way, shape, or form. So may we not grow weary and lose heart, even though the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. What about you? Are you weary? Have you turned from your sins and come to Jesus? The offense of your sin against the holy God is real. The guilt of your sin, the shame of your sin. And the only way to be cleansed of that is not anything you can do, but come to the one who's done it all for you. Come to Jesus, acknowledge that. Ask Christ to be your personal Savior. Bring yourself and your sin to Jesus, and all who come to him, he will in no way cast out. Then continue to come to Jesus over and over again. Come immediately, come boldly, come find the living waters to refresh your soul. He's always there with open arms to greet you. Yeah, it's been a wearying time. Nobody knows when this is going to end, if it does end, right? We hear this and that, it's going to this, and nobody knows. So what do you do? What do you do? You keep looking to Jesus so that you might not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I know we've got some weary